Now, God says here, verse 2, and it starts in this very marvelous, wonderful way, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful way to begin? How do you think that these people are going to respond to that? I remember they've returned, and by the time of Nehemiah, although they're discouraged about rebuilding Jerusalem, the walls, and they, under Nehemiah, they built them, and there's a show of prosperity, and they're going through the form now of worshiping in this rebuilt temple. They're going through the ritual of it, and on the surface, everything looks good. But may I say to you, oh, are they sarcastic, supercilious, sophisticated, blasé group? And God says to them, I have loved you, saith the Lord. And listen to them. Yet ye say, in what way hast thou loved us? Oh, can you believe that? That these people would have the audacity to speak to God like that. In what way hast thou loved us? I'm not sure today, but what a great many in the church would raise that same question. They say, look at the things that are happening to us. How can you say that God loves us? Well, God made it clear to these people from the very beginning that he loved them. And it's interesting that you go a long ways in the Bible before you find God telling anybody that he loved them. But if you go to Deuteronomy, and by that time you've come to Moses, and you're out in the wilderness, and you've been out there for 40 years, and it's going to be pretty hard to make anybody believe that God loves them. But now in the 10th chapter, verse 15, listen to what he says here. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. God just hadn't been saying that. You go through the time of the flood and afterward, God never told anybody. God didn't tell Abraham that he loved him, but he did, of course. But the point is, God was in no hurry to let mankind know that he loved him. But here he says, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is. Now, God's prepared to prove that. God's answer is this. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the jackals of the wilderness. Now, this is a tremendous statement here that God is making to them. The people were questioning. They were doubting the love of God. Now, God reminds them of the origin of the nation. Jacob and Esau were twins. God made a difference at the very beginning, but it was about 1,500 years before he stated, as he does here, that he loved them. This presents a problem. Why would God say that he loved Jacob and hated Esau? A student came to the late Dr. Griffith Thomas with that question. He says, I have a problem. Why does God say he loved Jacob and he hated Esau? And Dr. Thomas said, well, what's your problem? Well, he says, why did he say you hated Esau? Well, Dr. Thomas says, I have a problem with that verse too. But my problem is, why did God say he loved Jacob? That's the real problem. And my friends, I want to say to you, that's a real problem. Why God would say love this people. But let's understand one thing. God never said it until Esau and Jacob became two great nations, and they had long histories. And Esau demonstrated by his life and the nation that followed him. But here is a people, though they were disobedient to God, yet there was always a remnant that turned to him. And God says over in the 9th chapter of Romans, verse 13, he says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And it just simply means that though this nation failed, Neither one of them deserved the love of God, yet there was the remnant that turned to God, and God therefore said that he loved Jacob because of the fact that God knew what was in his heart. He knew that here's a man that had a desire for him, and Esau did not have a desire for him at all. But you have to work that out in 1,500 years of history before God's prepared to make that kind of a statement. And it is a statement that we need to understand that the difference that we have here between loving and hating is simply this. The life of the nation that came from Esau, which is Edom, and the life of the nation which came from Jacob demonstrate that God was right when he said he loved one and hated another. And by the way, it reveals something that we need to face up to today. We're going to be talking about this more and more, but we've majored so in the love of God. Do you know that if God loves, God also hates? Because you can't love without hating. And someone has said they're very close together. Well, I think they are. But if God loves the good, he has to hate the evil. It couldn't be otherwise. And that's exactly what we are going to find here. God says that because of his life, because of the evil that was there in this man and worked itself out into the nation, and the history of the nation of Israel is altogether different, that God was justified, though he did not make the statement at the very beginning. God never said at the beginning that he loved one and hated the other. He had to wait till they became nations. And these two nations are demonstrating that God was right in his statement.